So let's open the Bible back to the book of Romans, chapter 8, that magnificent chapter that has so much hope and so much life, spiritual life to us. And verse 17, I'm sorry to tell you tonight that we're still in verse 17. This is probably the third sermon on one verse. Romans 8 and verse 17, we read, "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Remember that, with Christ. "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for making us your sons and daughters and making us heirs, heirs of God, where we inherit you. You are our portion. You are what we desire and need. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, help us tonight. Teach us the importance of suffering and why, if we are children, then we're also called to suffer. Thank you, Father, that we don't suffer alone. And so teach us and encourage our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So why must God's children suffer? I mean, many of us are parents, and sometimes we hate to see our children suffer. But you know, suffering that the Lord administers, that the Lord even brings into our lives, is for good. And we suffer because suffering is the pathway. It's the only way to a closer relationship with Christ and to glory. That's the message I want to get across to us all tonight, even myself. And that suffering is the pathway to glory and knowing Christ intimately. That's what we want to learn tonight, and that's what we're praying that the Lord will teach us. And notice what it says here in verse 17. "Now, if we are children," the "if" is not to put doubt in our minds. In fact, a better translation would be "because we are children." This goes along, suffering goes along with being a child of God. If we are children, or because we are children of God. And that is a shift we have to make in our minds. Because when we are hit with suffering, it sometimes comes to me as I'm like shocked. "Oh God, what's going on? And why me?" I hope this sermon will prepare us for suffering and encourage us to trust the Lord as we go through things. So because we are children, then we are heirs. And if you are heir of God and co-heirs with Christ, if or because of that, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. It is the pathway to glory. The only way to come to know the Lord deeper and better is to share in Christ Jesus' suffering. It is what children of God do. Escaping or trying to escape suffering is not what children of God do. It is a part of our DNA. Our Father suffered. You say, well, how did he suffer? He so loved the world. He so loved you and I that he gave. He sacrificed his only son. He suffered for us. Our elder brother, it's in his spiritual DNA, if you please, of suffering. He came and he gave his life willingly for all of us because he knew it was the gateway, the pathway, the only pathway for glory. It is what the children of God do. They suffer. Now you say, Pastor, I might have to think on that a moment. I think we all have to pray on that. That suffering is what the children of God do. And we're going to look at what suffering is. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, before we get into some definitions, notice what Jesus said. He said in verse 23 of Luke 9, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What is the cross symbol of? One of its symbols is suffering. Our Savior suffered. If we're going to be Christians, we also must be sufferers. You say, I didn't sign up for that. Well, God called you to that. And what God calls us to do, he empowers us to do. And he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Following in the relationship with him who is our Savior and who suffered, we must be willing and desiring to be like him. It is what the children of God do. They suffer like Jesus suffered. That's what we've been called to as Christians. Now, suffering is one of the most frequently mentioned topics throughout the New Testament, and especially by the apostles, because all of them suffered and were killed. The only one who did not face martyrdom was the Apostle John, but he suffered in prison, isolated on an island by himself. Are you willing to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Suffering is the pathway to glory. It's the pathway to knowing our Savior. In other words, it's like Jesus said, if you're going to walk with me, or as they say today, if you're going to run with me, then you've got to suffer with me. And that opens up an intimacy with Christ that we have never had if we don't suffer with him. We've all suffered. But do you suffer with Christ and depending on Christ? And many of us do depend on Christ. But do you identify your sufferings with him? As the old saying goes, no pain, no what? No gain. No cross, no crown. And no suffering, no glory, and no intimacy with Jesus Christ. And I'm praying, even as I give this message, that we would just, God, just open up our hearts to receive this. It's so counterintuitive to us. Now, what kind of suffering? You know, what kind of suffering? Any kind of suffering, be disease, death, loss. Suffering occurs when what we were depending on, trusting in, and looking to is taken away from us. Suffering is loss. When you have lost something you were putting your trust in. And God brings us through suffering to identify, we were looking maybe at our own health. We were looking at our children. We were looking at our mate. We were looking at our jobs. And we had a sense of well-being because we thought we had all of that together. And then God takes it away. See, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. What is our reaction when the Lord takes away? Or when the Lord brings adversity? You say, God would never bring adversity and suffering to his children. That's not true. When you look in the Old Testament through the New Testament, it is there. Jesus promised it. In this world, you will have trouble. And as we just read in Luke, that you've got to be willing to take up your cross and follow him. That's the only way. It is not trusting in people. It's not trusting in money. It's not trusting in places. Oh, I have a house to live in. What if God took that house away? Would you still trust him? Would you still rejoice in him? There are all kinds of ways that God uses the loss of things to get through to our heart. Where is your heart? Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Is God our treasure? We learned last week that God is our inheritance, our portion. And some said, well, I was looking for something bigger than that. There's nothing bigger than God. It is interesting that, as we learned last week, that if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. God gives. This week, we're looking at God taking away. We're looking at suffering when God takes away everything you have been trusting in for your peace of mind, for your comfort. And when the only thing that is left is your inheritance from and of God, which is God himself, not your 401, not your IRA, not your pension, not what you've got put away, not in your health, not in this or any other people, when it's solely you and Jesus. In the eye of the storm, we listen to that song, sing along with, that's where we find Jesus. He's there with us. And when all these other things are gone, but why suffering? So that God would show us that he is our only hope. All these other things that were propping you up, when he takes them away, and he catches you, and he carries you in his arms, only then can you testify that God is truly enough, that he's truly all you need. We can sing those songs like that all day long, but if it's not in your heart and you haven't experienced the loss and then found God there for you, your inheritance, to strengthen your faith, your perseverance. Like in that song, it says, when you get a note from the doctor and it says you only have a few more years or months, or when your baby girl is addicted, what do? We look at our real inheritance, and that's God. Come with me to Romans. God brings all these things to help us grow in faith and dependence in him. I want to go to Romans chapter 5. We studied this, many months ago, but it is important for us to read it again. Romans chapter 5, and you ask yourself, what is really propping me up? Do I really know Jesus? Do I really walk alongside him on the same path that he walked of suffering? In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 2, it says of Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We don't stand on our bank account. We don't stand on our health. We stand on Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in hope, in the hope of the glory of God. That's our hope. That's what we stand on by faith. The hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Notice the linkage between glory here, the glory of God, rejoicing, and in sufferings. Why? Because we know, and we need to know deep, deep down in our hearts, to see when this pain hits you and the losses come. Sometimes pain can hit you and you're like, I don't know nothing. You got to know Jesus. You got to know your inheritance in the Father. And that the Father is using your sufferings as a pathway to glory, to perfection with him and in him. And the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings. Second time he's mentioned sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That I will not give up. I will not curse God and die. the very words of Job's wife through all his sufferings. She said, it's not worth it. Curse God and die. Will you give up when the going gets rough? He says, suffering produces perseverance. I will not give up. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. These are the attributes of God himself. This is glory. And we glorify God even as we suffer. And people say, wow, how can they go through that? How can they put up with that? Even in the eye of a storm, you find peace and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Doesn't disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he's given us. See, God even prepares us through his word and through trials for suffering. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. And it's God's pathway. We may want to go this way and that way. It's the only pathway that leads to glory. But how? How? Is that God takes away all your props, all your dependencies. He removes them. And you stand before him. And you look at him. And you trust him. Look at this. God sent Paul through some severe suffering. And we know he ultimately was beheaded. But before that, he went through some severe trials. And he tells you, and he tells me why he went through them. 2 Corinthians, very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's begin reading verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. He says to the brothers and sisters at Corinth, he says, I want to tell you something. We do not want you to be uninformed. Brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia, we were under great pressure, far above our ability to endure. Yes, God will take you there, where it's far above your ability to endure it, put up with it, go through it. He'll bring you there. What is the pathway to glory? It brings us into deeper intimacy with Jesus, far above our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. I'm reminded of Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what he was going to go through, and he was in tears. And he was deeply troubled, the scripture says. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Three times he asked not to go through the suffering he knew he was going to go through. And finally he said, not my will, but your will. You see, Jesus had prayed that the Father would glorify him. The pathway to glory for Jesus was suffering. Yea, even the suffering of the cross. For it was through faith in the Father that he was able to submit himself to that suffering on the cross. And he believed that the Father would raise him up in glory. And the same promises to us. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. You know why God makes it above your ability to endure? So that you would have to trust him. Not in what you got stored up, not with what you think and have and da 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 da. Where God is your only hope. For he is our only hope. Everything else is a mirage. They can go away like a puff of air. far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. He said, I thought I was gone. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, not rely on other people, not rely on our resources, but on God, he says. The God who raises the dead, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. That is where we must set our hope. And on doing so, a process of sanctification, of glorification, of God and us being glorified by trusting in him when everything else we've been trusting in, we have taken away. And until we put our faith in God, we cannot see him. We cannot see Jesus. I think about Job. Job said, you know, I have heard of you. This is Job chapter 42, verse 5. I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But then he said, now, after going through all the suffering, now my eye sees you. Glory. Now my eye sees you. And what about Stephen? I don't have the time, but I could take you to Acts 7. Here's Stephen. Was convicted of heresy. And they, at the very feet in authority of the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, they began to bite him. They were so angry with their teeth. And they decided to take him out of the city and stone him. And as they stoned him, as the rocks crashed into his body, into his head, Stephen said, the heavens were opened. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's glory. Stephen, through that pathway, yes, of stoning and death, experienced the glory of God. The Apostle Paul is very, very, very much in detail about this. Come with me to the book of Philippians. You see, the Apostle Paul, who had the authority to kill Stephen and gave his consent and authority to do so, God changed him. And he changed Paul like he changes us all through suffering. I want to go to Philippians chapter 3. And here in the around verses 4 and 5, he gives his resume. He looks at his spreadsheet like it's an accounting deal, and he put all of his assets down. He said this, verse 4, though I myself have reason for such confidence. Where was his confidence before Jesus? He's telling us, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I look over here and I see in my credit section, I have more. Circumcised, the eighth day of the people of Israel. He said, my heritage. Look at that in the plus column. Look at that in my assets. The tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. Man, I was at the top echelon. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, hey, I was persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was flawless according to the law. These were all his assets. But what was ever for my profit, I now consider loss. I just made myself a little thing here, all this gain, he now puts a red, he's in the red, and he has a loss on the gain section. No more props, no more pride in being an Israelite, no more this and that of what I did in the law and how I persecuted the church. Whatever's to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What do you take pride in? What do you depend on? Is it your family, your children, your mate, your job? What is it that you take pride in? That when you think about it, you have a, take a just a, and you don't say it, but you kind of feel, man, you know, I got it made. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. But when you praise the Lord, as Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Have you lost all things? I mean, even in your heart, you were ready to give up all things. You say, well, Pastor, it would be no suffering if I was ready. I don't think anybody is totally ready until it happens. I consider them rubbish, trash, for I may, that I may gain Christ. You cannot have, you cannot be a Christian and put your hope in these things. It's impossible. Suffering is a requirement to be an heir of God. We are heirs if we suffer. It is a proof of our DNA, of the Holy Spirit in us. And only by trust in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit can we suffer the loss of all things. We need to ask God to examine us and show us where our heart is. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You cannot have both. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and pride in your position or in your family or your name and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And then verse 10, he says, my only goal is this. I want to know Christ. I want to fellowship in his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, knowing that our Father brings those sufferings as the only way to make us like Jesus, becoming like him in his death. That's how, and that's what we have been called to. That is the pathway to our inheritance, where God is all. He's everything. What do we really want? The real good life or the good life? No suffering, no pain. But do we want to know Jesus intimately? And you see, it's when we're suffering, when we're all alone or it feels that way, that's when you get close to Jesus. When there's no way out, but he is the way and the truth and the life. The way to glory and true peace and joy isn't the suffering. That's where the comfort comes in, when we trust in him and not how we're going to figure this out. But Jesus is our way of escape. He is our way and the only pathway. He says, I am the door to glory. He is our glory. Father, These are some hard things. And that's why we need you, because they're too hard for us. None of us like to hurt, whether it's emotionally, physically, spiritually. None of us like being vulnerable, not knowing, not being in control. But it's a false sense when we think we've got it all together, or we can look at our bank accounts, or we don't know you. And I know you lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And thank you, Lord, that it is a valley and that we come through the other side. Whatever it may be, we know you are with us. Strengthen our faith through these trials and sufferings, that we may know that we are children of God and heirs, and we will inherit you, and we have all of you now. Please strengthen us, Father. Help even our unbelief sometimes. Help us to value you, the pearl of greatest price, above all else. Have mercy on us, Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.